This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. Within this series of the laws of victory or the laws of success that exist within Surah Al-Anfal that we started a number of weeks ago, I'm going to conclude it, insha'Allah ta'ala, this week by talking about the final one. There are other laws within this surah, up to 25, depending on how you want to break them down, but I'm choosing the ones that I'm going to share with, the seven that I'm going to share with you today, and the seventh that I'll share with you today, and the sixth that I shared with you the weeks before. And the final one that I want to bring all of our attention to is when he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, la takhunu Allah wa rasul. Do not betray Allah and His Prophet. And this is an extremely strong and powerful phrase to exist in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. It's one thing if you were to be addressing non-believers, or to be addressing hypocrites, or to be addressing mushrikeen, or those who are combative. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the ayah by saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O those who believe, and He's talking to the believers subhanahu wa ta'ala, La takhunu Allah, do not betray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not betray His Prophet, and do not betray that which we entrusted you with. Takhunu amanatikum. Amanatikum are the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted us with. Do not betray them. Wa antum ta'lamun, as you know that you are doing so when you do it. And then he gives an example right afterwards where he says, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And know that indeed all that your wealth and your children are is but a test, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding on for you a great reward. The seventh law is choosing your allies wisely. Making sure you know who you're lining up with, who your allies are, what alliances you make in life. And then making sure that you're not standing by traitors nor betraying yourself. And this is a difficult one to talk about, which is why I left it till the end. Probably the most complex of all of the laws that we have shared. Everything else is pretty simple. If you think about it, it's not that difficult. Most of them are things you can do on a personal level or with a small group of people. But this one here, when he talks subhanahu wa ta'ala about alliances, when he talks about betrayal, when he talks about treason, Jalla Jalaluhu in this surah, you have to take a step back and think about what he means and where, how is this going to be applied in our lives. Throughout the surah, he repeats this subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just this one verse. In a page later, he says, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَيَرْكُمَهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَجْعَلَهُ فِي جَهَنَّمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. What happens, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may differentiate between the khabith and the tayyib. That which is bountiful, that which is helpful, which is productive, which is meaningful, and that which is harmful. That it was useless. Al-khabith. Things happen so that there's a differentiation occurs. Life throws all these curveballs, and we go through all of these calamities and difficulties so that things start to clarify. It's to lift the fog and the mist. It's for the dust to settle so we can see, so we can figure out where we stand and where others stand, or else it's impossible. How do you know? How do you know who's real about anything if they're not standing up against a difficult decision? Everyone is angelic when they're in the masjid. Everyone is angelic as long as things are going well. If they have the upper hand, if they're wealthy, if they're healthy, it's easy. It really takes no effort at all for you to be good, for all of us to be good. But it's only when you're standing in front or against an extremely difficult decision, against oppression or persecution, or against righteousness versus falsehood, and you have to make a decision. Only then will you have to make a decision, and you'll end up on one of two sides of the rails. You'll end up on one of the sides of the line. And at that moment, you will declare yourself and others will see what you declared of yourself to be. And that's the only way we can figure it out. When you think about Islamic speakers, you listen to them until a moment where you expect them to say something specific and they don't, and then you stop listening to them. And then you turn them, I thought that, but then this happened, and they didn't say anything, and they had no comment on it, and you don't respect them anymore. If it wasn't for these difficulties and calamities, everyone would seem heroic. Everyone would seem amazing, but no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not, the world doesn't work that way. You're going to be put in situations where you have to make a choice. And the advice he gives you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تخونوا الله والرسول, don't betray them. Do not betray Allah and His Prophet. And don't betray that which they entrusted you with. You were entrusted with this deen. You were entrusted with this way of istiqam, of incorruptibility, and of haqq, of righteousness. Don't betray it. Even if it's for... That's why the ayah after it says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. All your children and wealth, it's just a test. Not even for them. Don't betray Allah and His Prophet and that which we entrusted you with. Not even for them. Not even to take care of them. Don't betray. Not for your wealth, not for your possessions, not for your family, not for anyone. You never betray him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what he taught, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when you go throughout the surah, وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ. And if those who you lined up with want to fool you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. وَإِن يُرِيدُوا خِيَانَتَكَ later on, فَقَدْ خَانُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَأَمْكَنَ مِنْهُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. If they want to betray you, again, then don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you catch them the first time they betrayed. He'll help you catch them again when they betray again. But you do not ally in yourself with those who betray. And you don't allow yourself to be a traitor. Now, when you listen to the word is huge, right? It's a very heavy word. Betrayal. Oh. Everything in life can be forgiven. It's hard to forgive betrayal. It's almost impossible. Actually, in many situations, you're advised against it. You're advised against forgiving betrayal or going back into a relationship with someone who betrayed you. Mistakes can be forgiven, but sometimes betrayal, treason, that's a huge word. There's a problem there. There's something that's underlying that needs to be fixed before you can go back. So it's not something simple. In the same surah, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتَ مِنْهُمْ ثُمَّ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَهُمْ فِي كُلِّ مَرَّةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يَتَّقُونَ. Indeed, the worst of Allah's creation are those disbelievers, the ones that you, every time you draw a treaty with them or sign a contract with them, they betray you. They break their word every single time. Every single time you try to line up with them, they go ahead and do that again. And they have no piety. That's why in Surah At-Tawbah, the one after it, Allah tells the Prophet, no more. No more. بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُم مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. You don't renew these contracts with them anymore. As because they betrayed too many times. You don't stand by traitors. You don't accept treason. Then how do we, what do we do by, in terms of alliances? Alliances are based on causes. They're based on having a mutual goal and showing commitment towards it. Faith is a piece of it, but it's not the only one. And that's the importance of understanding this lesson, because at the end of Surah Al-Anfal, you have a full page where he breaks it down for you. I'm going to share these verses with you so understand exactly what he's saying. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا. He talks about two groups, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, those who believed and those who performed hijrah, those who immigrated, وَجَاهَدُوا, those who strived with their wealth and with their lives for the sake of Allah, that's one group. وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا, and those who accepted the people who immigrated to them and stood by them. The muhajirin and the ansar, basically. This is how we break them down. In this ayah, it's making it very clear. You have two. أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Indeed, those two groups are allies of one another. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يُهَاجِرُوا مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ وَلَايَتِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا. The believers, those who believed but didn't perform the hijrah, you don't have to make alliances with them. You don't make alliance until they do. At that time, during his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way to distinguish was whether the person performed hijrah or not. Was whether the person gave up where they were living with oppressors, living with persecutors, and coming to where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam had established something for the Muslims. That is how it was recognized. If you didn't do it, either you couldn't do it, Or, and that's fine, or you didn't want to do it. And if you didn't want to do it, مَا لَكُم مِّن وَلَايَتِهِم مِّن شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يُهَاجِرُوا. This is the wording of Surah Al-Anfal. Then you're not owe them alliance until they do so. وَإِنِ اسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَلَيْكُمُ النَّصْرُ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And if they call for help because they're being persecuted where they are, then you help them to the best of your ability, unless you have a treaty with the group that they are asking for help against. It becomes complicated. I'm not interested in the political complexities of this ayah. I'm interested in the zoom out basic understanding of what it's teaching. That when it comes to alliances in Islam, it's not just faith. It's also the similarity or the clarity of the objective and the adherence to the pathway that will achieve that objective. During his time, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was building of the Muslim country. That's what it was. That was the objective. And the way to achieve it was everyone needed to come. You're Muslim, come to us. Come to Medina. We'll set things up for you. Yes, you're giving up your society, your community, your wealth, your status. You're giving up everything you've built over the last couple of decades of your life. You drop it, you come to us. If you don't, then we don't owe you an alliance. You need to come to us first. Even though some people may have true iman, but they just didn't want to immigrate. No, this does not apply to us, by the way. Just so you understand, this is applicable to his time, alayhi salatu wasalam. The countries you left are the most oppressive countries that exist on planet Earth. You think I could give a khutbah like this in one of those countries? You think I would be allowed to get on a minbar in these countries? I lived in Syria for most of my life. You think I could get on the minbar and say anything that had any edge to it at all? Any tooth to it at all? Not at all? Wouldn't dare. I wouldn't sleep at my home that night. So I'm not talking about going back anywhere. I'm explaining to you how the Quran looks at alliances. It's telling the Prophet ﷺ, you have two groups. Those who left their homes and sacrificed and believed. And those who accepted them and stood by them. Anyone who's short of these two categories, you don't owe them full alliance. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. And the disbelievers who fight you, they stand by each other. They ally, their alliances are strong amongst each other. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. If you don't do this, if you don't understand what's being explained to you and you practice it, it will cause fitna on earth and a huge corruption. I narrated a hadith last night that had the same wording. These are the only two times these wordings are used. When you fail to help people get married, that's the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and when you ruin alliances, when you don't know who to line up with, when you fail to understand what that means. What he's explaining is, here's how it's going to be. The believers who sacrificed and those who accepted them, they're allies. Anyone who's short of that don't deserve full alliance. You can stand by them to the best of your ability because your enemy are all allied. They're all allied. They're all together. If you don't understand this, then fitna and fasad, kabir, great corruption will occur. And fitna will occur on earth. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا. Then he talks about those two groups again. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّا. Those are truly the believers. This is at the end of Surah Al-Anfal. Go at the beginning of Surah Al-Anfal. Right at the beginning. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ. And he talks about what the believers look like at the beginning of the surah. And then he talks about them again at the end of the surah in a different light. The two groups, either those who have the cause, they're the core people who carry the cause, or those who stand by them. Within Islam, you're one of two things. Either you're a person who's carrying the cause because it's core to you, because it matters to you, because it's a part of your identity, or you're someone who is standing by someone who is doing that. And you are advocating for their rights. Outside of those two categories, we don't have anything. We don't have anything outside of those two categories within the Quran. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. Those are the true believers. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Then he explains to us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people will find their way later sometimes. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا مَعَكُمْ. And those who accepted Islam later and eventually performed hijrah and eventually stood by you, it was late. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنْكُمْ. They're amongst you as well. وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And you keep kinship relationships strong. This ayah is not to explain that, oh, alliances are only based on this, get rid of your family. No, you keep your family relationship strong. within your unit, in your extended family. That's not, he's not arguing against that, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's talking about this ummah in terms of how it's supposed to build its relationships and what type of alliances should it should have. Today, isn't it extremely saddening that the only country that was able to actually speak out against the genocide that we're observing is South Africa. A country of a Muslim minority that is almost untangible. You can barely even figure out how many people are there who are. Country that this is not their cause. It's not their cause. When you think about that, it's very clear immediately that we are an ummah in a crisis. We're a nation in crisis. Because if the only group, the only country that is willing to go as far as to take a case to the IGC, which by the way, it's not going to make a difference. In my opinion, it's just symbolic. I think whatever world order exists to protect certain imperialistic interests, and everything else is all just a sham. But the only group that was willing actually to take this publicly was a group that was not a majority of Muslims, not a Muslim majority country. Because as Muslims, we have failed to figure out how to build alliances. We don't know who it is we stand by and who it is we don't. And it's not just based on faith. It's based on وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يُهَاجِرُوا. Those who don't actually, yes, they believe, but they haven't committed to the objective. They haven't committed. You don't need to stand by them. They're still your Muslim brothers and sisters. You still advocate for their rights if they're being oppressed. But there's an issue with the alliance here altogether. And we're observing this today in the world, and it's very hard to accept. It's very shameful. It's very hard that many Muslim-majority countries can't do this. Barakallah fihum, the South Africans. Rizahum Allah khair. Wallahi, they are more, they are worthy of praise, and they are worthy of being proud of for saying this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and guide them to his righteous path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them barakah in what they do. Because our alliances stand by those who stand by the objectives that we are trying to achieve. And this is how it goes. You stand by your Muslim brothers and sisters, amongst them those who continue to work towards the objective that is needed. And those who don't, you leave for now until they get on board, as the ayah said. They'll come later, that's fine. But until they do, you focus. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith in his collection, Imam Abu Dawood. Thank you, change narration. قَالَ يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ يُغَرْبَلُ فِيهِ النَّاسُ غَرْبَلَ حتى لا يبقى إلا حثالة من الناس مرجت عهودهم وأماناتهم واختلفوا فكانوا هكذا. So he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, a time will come where people, you know, غربال is where what is it called in English? Where you're using where they get rid of the wheat. الغربال. That's, yeah, exactly. And people fall through the pores, and some people stay on top. depending on what iman they have. A time will come where that will happen. And all that will be left on earth in terms of people who are in office are huthala. Astaghfirullah, the only word for this in English is garbage. The people who are in charge are garbage. Marijat uhuduhum wa amanatuhum. They have no amana, they have no covenants, they don't respect any their word, they don't respect anything. واختلفوا, and they go into each other like this. He went like this, عليه الصلاة والسلام. فشبك بين أصابعه. فقالوا فكيف بنا يومها يا رسول الله. So the Sahaba said, what do we do then? فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, تؤدون ما تعرفون وتذرون ما تنكرون. You stick to what you know. ما تعرفون as in معروف. You know, معروف and منكر. منكر and معروف. Okay. تؤدون ما تعرفون. Meaning continue to be, to hold on to the values of goodness that you know. The stuff that are good, you continue to advocate for and you practice. And the things you know are corrupt, you let go of. And you continue to stay away from. وتقبلون على أمر خاصتكم وتذرون أمر عامتكم. And you focus internally at the people who stand by you, and you let the other bigger group do whatever it wants to do. I love وَتُقْبِلُونَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ خَاصَّتِكُمْ, he said, عليه الصلاة والسلام. I mean, the people who are stand by you, the people who are similar to you, the people who believe in what you believe in, you focus on them. And the world around you, it's waves upon waves of human beings behaving in different ways, having different thoughts, acting in different methods of different lifestyles and different beliefs. Let them be. تُقْبِلُونَ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِ خَاصَّتِكُمْ. You focus internally at the group that you have, that agree with you. And you build that core again. Because the core is missing, that's why. Because the core group is missing. You see, alliances are there to make sure that you have a core group, to maintain it, to protect it. Without it, nothing. There's nothing there. alayhi salatu wasalam built a core group. He built it in Mecca, and then he took it with him to Medina, and he built it again in Medina. And he had a core group. And it didn't matter, because he had that core group, how many munafiqeen lived in Medina, how many people in Medina were Ahl Kitab, or maybe from a different background, or mushrikeen, or those who were enemies. Didn't matter, because he had a core group. They all were on the same page. He knew where his alliance laid, alayhi salatu wasalam, where it lied. And they knew too. And there was that clarity. And because of that, they were able to achieve things. But we don't have that anymore. Not even in small communities. Forget about the Muslim Ummah, which is a problem that maybe we don't have the ability to talk about fixing. But even internally in small communities, we don't have core groups that are willing to pick up things and run with it. And they know where their alliances lay or lie, even when they fully disagree with one another on certain things. We're too quick as Muslims to turn our backs on one another when we disagree with each other on something. We're too quick in building animosities with people who we agree with on 99% of things and disagreed on one thing. We're too quick because we don't know the importance of wilaya, of having an alliance, of standing, of making sure you know who you're standing by and who's standing by you. At the end, he says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu hasbuka Allah. All you need, O Prophet, is Allah. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And those who follow you amongst the believers. But we need to understand this piece because it's extremely important for us as Muslims here in the West. I am not saying it's easy or simple. And I don't even have the answers for exactly what we should be doing or shouldn't. But I'm trying to sound the alarm on the importance of this piece, of knowing where alliances lie and who it is we're lining up with and who we shouldn't. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده إخواني وأخواتي باختصار شديد قضية الخيانة في القرآن مكررة وفي سورة الأنفال هذه الآية والله ما يسمعها الإنسان إلا وتزلزل قلبه وفؤاده إذ يأمر الله سبحانه وتعالى المؤمنين ألا يخونوا الله والرسول ألا يخونوا الله والرسول وما أبشعها من كلمة وما أبشعه من عمل أن يخون الإنسان غيره فما بالك إذا خان الله أو خان رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وخان أمانته التي ائتمنه الله سبحانه وتعالى عليها وهذه الخيانة لها أشكال كثيرة منها قضية الولاية من هم أولياؤنا كمسلمين هل نولي بعضنا هل المؤمنون بعضهم أولياء بعض؟ أم اختار المؤمن وليا لنفسه ليس بمؤمن؟ أو اختار وليا لنفسه يخالف توجهه ويخالف قبلته؟ وهنا لا أقصد بالقبلة البيت الحرام وإنما أقصد بالقبلة الغاية التي يريد تحقيقها في الأرض من بيننا مسلمون لا يؤمنون بقبلتنا لا يرون مظلومية الشعب الفلسطيني أو مظلومية الشعوب الأخرى التي ترزخ تحت الاضطهاد والاستبداد في كل أنحاء الأرض ولا يرون أن هذه الأمة تستحق أن تنصر وتستحق أن تجد العدالة في هذه الأرض وفي هذا الزمان وقد ولوا أدبارهم عن قضية الأقصى وعن قضية حقوق البشر فهؤلاء ليسوا بأوليائكم هؤلاء ليسوا بأوليائكم وإنما ذلك الذي لا يؤمن بالله ويرى مظلومية الشعب ويرى حقية ويرى حق الشعوب المضطهدة هذا وليك وإن لم يؤمن لأن سورة الأنفال لم تجعل الولاية مرتبطة فقط بالإيمان وإنما جعلتها مرتبطة بالهجرة والهجرة عمل لا علاقة له بالإيمان فالذي آمن ولم يهاجر ما لك من ولايته من شيء حتى يهاجر القضية ليست فقط أن تؤمن لكن القضية أن تؤمن بالقضية أيضا وهذا مما يجب علينا جميعا فهمه I'll end with this final piece the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام shared with us in Sahih Bukhari where he once was having a talk and someone came up and said when is يوم القيامة متى الساعة so he was busy he was talking to other people so he didn't respond to him The man stood there, he waited. And the guy, Prophet alayhi sallam, was going from one person to the other. And after maybe 10, 15 minutes, he finally looked, قال, أين السائل عن, where's the guy who asked me when? So they pointed him out, he's still there. فقال, يا هذا تعال, come. إذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة. Once people Once people don't respect that which they were entrusted with, when they throw their amanas away, then wait for يوم القيامة. فقالوا يا رسول الله وكيف يكون? And what does that mean? قال إذا وسد الأمر إلى غير أهله. When people are put in the wrong positions. When people are put in the wrong positions, or the wrong person is put in the position, however you want to understand it, either way it works. We have an issue with this deen is an amana. This legacy of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, this is something we're entrusted with. You carry it. You are one of the people who carry his legacy on earth, alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave you this amana here. Something extremely, the most valuable thing ever. Carry it. Walk with it. Do not betray it. Do not betray it. Do not mistreat it. Don't forget about its importance. And make sure you know when you align yourself up with people, you line them up with based on the fact that you are holding on to that amana, that you continue to protect that amana as you move forward. We need to have these discussions again as communities in the West, as Muslim communities in the West. We have to have these discussions again. Or else we're going to continue to fall into the same problem time and time again. We do have an amana here. We do carry an amana with where we are for the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for Islam. We carry a specific piece of amana. It's very specific of what it is. We can't fix the whole thing, but we are living in a place where we have the ability to put pressure upon those who are affecting the lives and the destinies of Muslims elsewhere. That is where we are, and that's the amana that we carry, and we must not betray it. And that requires proper alliances, understanding who we line ourselves up with so that we can achieve our objective. This is what I'm trying to tell you today in this khutbah. As a community, we have to identify where we are, what the cause is, and then we have to start doing that, which will allow us to hold on to the piece of amana that we're carrying, because we carry a specific piece here. And I'm not sure, maybe some people here are willing to say that we succeeded, but I would argue that we didn't. I would argue that 110 days of ongoing bombardment of a piece of land that is smaller than London kind of proves that we didn't succeed in doing that. We weren't able to apply enough pressure to stop this. That's the piece of amana that we carry, because we didn't have the proper setup. We didn't have the advocacy groups. We didn't plan this out. We didn't have the right alliances. We are not united as a group. We don't have it. We don't have the skill set or the tools to actually do it. So when it happened, we panicked and we tried our best and we went on the streets and we carried signs and we sent emails and we made phone calls and we had lectures and we opened houses and we did all this stuff. Did it change the outcome? Did it get it? I don't know. Maybe it did. I don't think it did. This is up for debate. No problem. And I think if we want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, we have to go back and think of how we're going to behave as a community. And I hope that's a benefit. And that's the end of the series. I have the 7 points up there for you. Please continue, inshallah, to participate in the campaign, the monthly campaign for this place to keep the programs running, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. The MRC is here today as well. If you have any issues you need to discuss with them, please reach out. They do have a variety of services they offer, amongst them housing and other types of counseling, so reach out to that as well. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى اللهم رده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم تب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة، طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا، وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا